podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in and talk about the topic today, I'll get it out. I'm leaving that in. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have a special, quote unquote, special going on right now where we're giving quarterly memberships. We're super excited about that. People seem excited about it. And then that maybe come in and join for 3 months and take a couple months off. I personally would never leave teachhoops.com, but you have that option. And it's great. So go over and check it out, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
We're going to talk to Coach Conroy today, the next 3 days, actually. This is a three-part series. We're going to talk about his pressure. We're going to talk about building a program. We're going to talk about him. You know, he is the Ireland's U20 women's coach. His resume speaks for itself. You know, they got a bronze medal in the FIBA recently in 2019. He was the Basketball Ireland International Coach of the Year in 2019. Obviously, his resume is boom, boom, boom. It's going to be great. Almost a 2 hour interview. It was great. They call him Kojak. So if you watch this on YouTube at some point, but I think you'll really enjoy this podcast. You know, one of the many services we give at teachhoops.com. Is doing this podcast. So if you'd like to support us, go over there and do that. We'd love a review too. Anybody that's listening to the podcast, Basketball Coach Unplugged, we'd love those 5-star reviews. Those mean the world to us. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to us. All right, let's head off to the podcast. All right, welcome to Coach Unplugged. All right, so Martin, I just told him before we came on, I don't tend to talk to guests beforehand because I had a friend who does podcasts. He says, don't lose any of the good stuff. But one thing I wanted to tell you is you're in Ireland right now, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you my mom's maiden name is Mary Margaret McCormick.
Okay.
That's pretty Irish, I think.
Are you sure?
Yep. It's pretty Irish. And in Collins, my last name is Collins. And Collins is actually, Collins is an Irish, I think it's the county of Dane or county of, but anyway, so we can trace our ancestors back to Ireland, I don't know, to the 1600s, I think. And then they came across and fought the Revolutionary War, and it was all sorts of cool stuff. But anyway, so I have a lot of deep love for Ireland.
Very good. That's a good start.
Isn't that a good start? That's a great
start.
There
you go.
So, all right. So I want to, we'll dive in because I always love to know how different countries kind of work their basketball. But
okay,
why don't you introduce yourself? Kind of give, you know, your 3 or 4 minute kind of bio, you know, your coaching, all that kind of stuff, how you ended up doing what you're doing right now. And so the audience can kind of know that, and then we'll dive in.
Okay. So my name is Martin Conroy. I'm affectionately known over here as Kojak. I think that goes with my haircut. I've been coaching for about 30 years now. I've been involved with Basketball Ireland, coaching from kids under 12, under 14, under 16, all the way up to Women's Super League. And last year I was head coach of the Irish under 20 women's team. So in Ireland, the way it works, it's a lot different to the States. We have a club structure and we have college structure and then kind of school, which would be high school kind of structure. So basically kids would play in high school in 3 or 4 different grades, first year, second year, and then we call them cadet and senior, and they'd move forward, and they'd also be playing with their clubs, which is kind of a little bit unusual.
So do you play with both of them at the same time?
Yes, yes. And that's something that's really kind of odd for our American players when they come over here. So we get our American players through a foundation called Sports Changes Life.
Okay.
And they would be kids that would have played D1, D2, D3 in the States. They come over here and they get a master's degree and they play with our college team and our club team.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, for myself, I'm with IT Carlow.
Okay.
And in IT Carlow, We have our varsity teams, men and women, and our women's Super League team, men's National League team. Okay. So the kids that come in from Sport Changes Life would play with both of those and did earn a master's in whatever, like, for instance, this year, Dwayne DJ that was with us, he did strength and conditioning.
Right.
And Caitlin Slagis was with us as well. She was with you. Go ahead.
Go. So is this going to have an effect with the world we're in right now? Are kids not going to be able to come over?
Yeah, it was actually kind of difficult to get some of them back. You know, I mean, it's we're all kind of over here wondering now at the moment, where are we going to be at the start of next season? Like, are there going to be sponsors to be able to sponsor our teams? Because a lot of the Super League men's clubs, let's say, would have sponsors who would help them bring in their Americans. They would be pro athletes. Division One is kind of, a lot of them would be true Sports Changes Life. So they're able to go into a college, as I said, and get their master's, and that's their payment while
right.
they're here.
Right, yeah.
So, like with the Super League men's teams now, there's 12 teams in Ireland. They're all going to be kind of they're wondering, like, where are they going to get the money to bring in these guys?
Right, you know, because I know the NBA in the U.S. is talking about, even if they're playing, not in front of people. Like,
yeah, they talked about it here about having a limit of 100 people in a gym, right. But our gyms are so much smaller than what right. you have over there. You know, I mean, like 100 people in a gym here is a very big crowd. You
right,
know? It's
right.
Nice, in certain situations. But it definitely is going to be an issue, I think, and especially for the start of the season. We don't know when our season is going to start. You know, how do we, you know, get ready for next season, get our preseason stuff done? When do we start our preseason stuff? When are our Americans going to be allowed in? Are they going to be coming in? True Sport Changes Life. Are they, you know, are the pros going to be sustainable as regards to paying them for a full season? And it's going to be very, very tricky, I think, you know.
I think it is. I think it's going to be very tricky. Let's dive in. So is there anything you want to talk about in terms of X's and O's? Anything you want to share before? I mean, I have like 3 pages of questions for you. So
yeah, like we talked about maybe just going through, I ran a 2-2-1 zone press with our
that'd be great. Do you know how to share this? Do you have something you need to share the screen, or you just want to talk about it?
I think I'm able to share the screen. Just
yep, on the bottom. See on the bottom there. So for the people listening, Coach and I are what I refer to as porch dogs. So we're just laying on the porch, just kind of like this technology thing is.
Yeah, I wish I had Tim Rice here with me right now.
I know, Tim would be good.
That's the man I need right now. I don't know how to.
I think there's a share screen.
There is, yeah.
On the bottom.
But it's not letting me share what I want to.
Okay,
share.
Hold on. Maybe I got to click something. Allow participants. So try it now and screw. Okay, so now I'm gonna. Now it should work. Now that I click that button. Okay, Coach. So you were saying you were gonna share some stuff. What? I call them. I refer to them as golden nuggets. What golden nugget are you gonna share with us today?
Well, this is something I've used as a coach for a long time, especially in Ireland. I'm probably known as a zone coach, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Even though my teams don't play that much zone anymore. But this is something that I love to use, especially in the ladies' game.
Okay.
2-2-1 zone press. I find in the men's game, it can be beaten a little bit easier. But
let me ask a couple questions before we dive into to the huddle stuff. So why did you pick the 2-2-1?
It was something I was very comfortable with. It was something that I thought I could teach well. And it's also something that I think just there are so many different pros to using it.
Give me some pros and cons to using it, so people that are kind of listening, and what's the negative?
Our objectives are obviously to trap and steal is the first thing you're looking for. Second thing is you're looking for deflections, and all of this at the same time is going to slow the clock down, slow the shot clock down. Over here we get, you know, our 24 second shot clock.
Okay.
You know, if you can even take 8-10 seconds off that before a team is able to get into the rhythm, well, then you've done a good job on it. You know, every right. now and again, you're going to get steals off it. You're going to get, you know, turnovers off it. And 9 times out of 10, if you can get a steal off a 2-2-1 zone press, it's going to be a bucket at the other end, which is a big thing. The cons with it, I suppose, is that, you know, if you're coming up against a good shooting team and you're falling back into a 2-3 zone, you know, you're leaving yourself open a little bit.
Do you find that teams can pop, get it down quick and pop before you can set up?
Like even at international level, I found that it was very, very good. It was strong. It worked. Like we played it against the clips I have on today's game, or from today is the game against Croatia. And it worked really, really well against them. We had a game plan before the game that we were going to use it maybe for the first 2 to 3 quarters, see where we were in the game. And then in the last quarter, we were going to go after them in our full court man. And the reason being that we knew that Croatia would only use 5 to 6 players in the whole game. I mean, they're starting 5, average 38 minutes a game.
Right.
So we knew we'd tire them out. We would run all 12 of our players, make sure that, you know, we rested our starters. So when it got towards the end of the game, we had them in the right position to be able to take them on with our man press, which was really, really good. It worked. Like in this game, it worked to a T. We held Croatia to 6 points in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And we won the game by 14 points. You know, points. So it definitely did its job, if you know what I mean.
I do.
I just think it's a great press. I think if you've got people who will buy into it and trust it and trust each other while you're doing it, I think it's definitely a great way to go.
Okay, so let's look at some of the clips and stuff.
Yeah, so what happened when we get into the first clip here, I'm just going to start it.
We're good. Yep, go ahead.
Okay, so you see we allow the first pass in.
Yep.
And then we try to channel to the sideline. Now, this clip is just one of the things that we probably didn't do too well on it. It was early in the game.
Right.
Just let it go. We'll let it play here. It's just thrown, but look at where our players are. We've got 4 players chasing back. We've got our stealer is not in the position she's meant to be in. Now, we actually get a turnover off this, which isn't too bad. If I just let it play out, the ball comes in. Play, sorry.
Okay. So say that again. So what happened on that first one? They just weren't converting back fast enough.
Exactly. So with our girls, you'll see that, like, when the ball is passed here, even though it goes out of bounds, again, if you watch it, the first pass comes in.
Yep.
We allow it to go back to the opposite side. That's fine. But now there should be more pressure on the ball. So that when Rachel jumped there, that's our big jump.
Yep.
It allowed the pass to get over her head. Now, the only thing about it is our stealer, which is kind of right back here at the back, Ali.
Yep.
He wasn't far enough across the court.
So go back. Can you go back just a little bit? Because I have a couple of things. So here's the issues I have with this is I agree with – that's fine. In the middle, the opposite middle did a really good job of taking the middle away. Okay, so the ball went in. That was fine. Yep. And then this girl on the right side, so the ball goes back across. Notice she takes, I think that's 10 or whatever, away in the middle, which is perfect.
Yeah.
How do you stop that little – I call them like a rainbow pass because that's a hard pass to stop. Along that sideline.
Down the sideline. So this is what I'm saying about Ali and the position she was in.
Yep.
But she normally does this really well. See the girl number 4 right here?
Yes.
Okay, so she's got to be further out on the sideline.
Okay.
So her job is not to be a safety player.
Right.
Her job, the way we run it, her job is to be a stealer.
Okay.
And it's getting her to think positively about what she's going to do. So if she's this far in the middle of the floor, it does leave that rainbow pass, that loop pass open.
Right.
Now, if she's further out in her proper position, which would be out here.
Yes.
Then she's going to get a little deflection. She's going to get a steal. She's going to get something that's going to be more proactive. Now, luckily, that time they threw the ball out of bounds, and they did that a few times against us.
Right.
I'll just get out of this one here. So here's another clip on. So, again, this shows a deflection.
Hey, Coach. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. A couple things that doesn't cost you a cent to do. You can subscribe and like, leave a written review. We really like that. You can go over to our YouTube channel. Just type in T-Tubes on YouTube and you'll find our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like there so you'll always get the updates. Next thing is if you do any shopping on Amazon, go down below, click our Amazon link, www.ttubes.com/Amazon. Anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, we get a small little commission. Helps us with our hosting fees. Be surprised how expensive it is to run one of these. And if you really love this stuff, you know, let me help you. Let me mentor you. Let me email. Let me get on one-on-one calls. Let me show you all the resources that will help me become one of the winningest coaches in the state of Wisconsin. You know, that's why I'm doing this. I want to help coaches become better. So ttubes.com can do that. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
you know, that's where she's in the right position.
That's where she moved over and got into that. So, okay. So do you worry, see, in a guy's game, I worry about them not like faking that rainbow pass and then them cheating over and then getting a layup or a dunk in the other direction.
100%. And that's the real worry with guys. Like, some girls are very, very good at it too. I'm not respectful to women basketball players in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm saying here is that I think this works really well with women basketball players. With guys, I think they have, you know, probably a little bit more power. They're able to skip
the pass. Well, what I say too when we run this is you got to kind of play like center field a little bit. It might be like one step. You can still protect, but you're kind of watching eyes. And then if you see the rainbow, then you just go for it kind of thing.
Where what I do here with our ladies is I make sure that Ali is in kind of a stronger position to start with. Initially, she's further towards the sideline. Now, if you look here with our number 5, Dana, and our number 13, Claire.
Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. Please go over and check our website, tchoops.com, for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. It's got office hours. It's got one-on-one calls. It's got handouts. It's got practice plans. It's got how to do it's got a roadmap for you. That's what you need, a roadmap. So go over and check that out. Again, it helps us keep the lights on. It helps us keep this train a chugging. Subscribe and like. We would love that. If you love these podcasts, especially on Apple and Spotify, if you leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate that. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
I mean, both of them have actually done a really good job of getting their weak side position. Right. So that cuts off that, you know, middle pass. Okay. And, you know, again, you're in a good position to try and stop their offense.
I love that.
It was a great deflection as well. Like, what I do as well is I don't put our biggest player at the back of the press. I put her most athletic big. So she's got to get from side to side.
Well, that's a good idea, because most people put their big and they tend to be too slow to be able to get out.
Exactly.
And get that.
And I just find that, like, if you put your big, like your center there, sometimes they're not athletic enough to be able to get to the sideline. They're not athletic enough to be able to get to the ball at times. You know, again, if you just watch this, I know there's a bit of a replay after the basket from Dana. But you see the pass there, like Rachel did a great job of closing the pass down, forcing the pass.
And you track deflections?
Yes, I do.
I do too. I think deflections are an under-tracked stat because it's a flow thing. It's an active hand thing. It's like so many different levels.
So like literally down here, I've written, you know, you just do's when we're doing this. So like you've got your active hands, you know, cutting off the angles, making sure your head's on a swivel, you know, bumping the cuts. So we like to shadow in the trap as well. We don't want to try and steal the ball when we get in the trap. We want to try and cause a 5-second violation or maybe a bad pass.
And then you're falling back in this clip, you're falling back to a 2-3.
2-3 zone, yeah.
Okay.
And now that we got away with it against Croatia because like they're a really good shooting team, to be fair. And we did a great job of closing out and making sure we weren't giving them easy shots. We got a bit tired in the third quarter, which was, I suppose, to be inevitable. But they hit about 3 threes in the third. But then like our energy in the fourth quarter was phenomenal. And like we went straight into our man press. And we did a great job in that, you know. So it was just one more
clip.
Yeah, it's just taking time off the shot clock. I mean, this is just something here.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. See, we run the 2-2-1 sometimes to just slow teams down. We'll even do it in the last 15 seconds, just so it takes them 6 or 7 seconds to get it down, so they can't run their quick. So this is what you're talking about.
100%. I mean, if you check the clock in the bottom, like we take about 8 or 10 seconds off their shot clock here. And we did a really good job of, you know, putting a little bit of pressure, not over pressure in the ball, but just doing a good job of slowing them down and throw them out of the rhythm. And again, when this finished up, we got back into a nice 2-3 zone, like Rachel is able to get back and recover.
Right.
And get back into our
What I say too is it's like you almost got to fake the traps a little bit. Like, it's kind of like a step forward, it's like forward retreat, forward. You're kind of playing with the person so they don't know if you're coming or not.
Exactly. Again, we allow the first pass in, and then what you'll hear me, I'm a talker on the sideline. So when I'm on the sideline, I'm telling my girls, they hear me all the time, my guys, it's channel, channel, channel. That means I want to push the player with the ball to the sideline and channel them up the sideline so we can get our trap, hopefully just over half court, and try to get a 5 second violation or make them force a bad pass from there.
Is there anything you do during practice to help with the channeling part?
When we play our games in practice, we always play with what we're going to play, our scrimmages, sorry, in practice, we always play with what we're going to play our next game. So
okay.
if we're in a situation like this where we know we're going to play Croatia and we know we're going to zone press them for three quarters, I'll spend a good bit of time just making sure that everybody knows their positions, everybody knows what they're meant to be doing. Making sure that they're not ball watching on this, which is a big thing, I think. I mean, you can see our two guards straight away. If you look at just where the freeze frame is there.
Yeah.
Both of our guards are looking straight at the ball.
Right.
So they're not seeing, like, Enya, who's on the weak side, is not seeing.
And it's got to be almost, I say butt to the basket, too.
There you go. 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Butt to the basket.
It's a terrible problem over here with our zones. You know, when we play zone over here, a lot of kids will you know, look at the ball. It's tunnel vision.
Right.
Just seeing where the ball is on the floor.
If you shift like 40 degrees, your butt will be to the defensive basket and you'll be fine. You'll be able to see more too. That's the issue. Do you have a problem in these games with people making the turn? Like, okay, so you're funneling me. I've noticed this a little bit in the guys' game, at least at our level, that when you funnel, it's like you're actually giving them some space where they can make that turn. And as soon as they make that turn, we
go past.
They go past and we can't contain. Do you have any issues with that?
That's really up to the defensive player, I think, you know, I mean, and how smart they are and not allowing that turn to happen, making sure that's why we say cutting off the angles and trying to force that player, you know.
Right.
If you see Dana's position now, like, she's not kind of heading towards the sideline yet.
Right.
As soon as the ball is passed, she will start to move that player towards the sideline. And, you know, she's...
It's straight those away. Active she, feet. What I've noticed about her right away is she's active. Like, her feet are always moving.
Yeah, Dana is a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah. So, but I mean, she probably doesn't even know she's doing it, but she's
It's natural to her. Exactly. It's natural. Yeah.
But her feet are moving. Like,
all the time. On her toes.
It's almost like she feels if she stops moving, she's going to sink into the floor, kind of thing. So her feet are always moving. Yeah,
100% agree. And you can ask Tim Rice about her. Like, Dana is one of our standout players over here. She's a great kid. Actually plays Gaelic football at a massively high level as well.
Oh, really? Okay. And, so for the American, he's talking about soccer. So
No. I'm not talking about soccer. Soccer is a different game. Gaelic football, you're allowed to use your hands.
What is that? I thought you were talking about football in terms of soccer. So
no, God, no. That's a game for weak little boys. As far
okay,
as
so concerned. What are you talking about?
So Gaelic football is it's Irish football, basically. It's
okay. I know about Irish football. That's crazy. Irish football is crazy. Yes. Okay.
It's quite a good game. So Dana plays that for her county, which is Mayo.
Okay.
She was in the All Ireland final.
Okay. So usually when you talk football in Europe, the European Union, you basically are talking soccer. But
yeah. Well, we definitely would call it soccer.
Yes.
Because
Ireland does have yes. You got to YouTube that. It's unbelievable to watch that. Actually,
soccer and or football and hurling. There's the other one.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched that. What does that entail?
So hurling is the best way I can describe it to you, I suppose, would be kind of like lacrosse.
Okay.
But no pads, no the guys only wear a helmet. They've got a stick about 2.5 to maybe 3 feet long.
So it's longer. So it's a longer stick than lacrosse then, probably.
Yeah, and there's no net at the bottom of the stick. That's if you want to, you know, look at a game that you've never seen before. For me, like, I love basketball. It's obviously my favorite sport, but the best game in the world that you can watch is hurling. It's unbelievably fast. When we bring our scholars to watch it over here, they just can't believe the speed of the game and how skillful it is. It's unbelievably skillful. Nice. And there's some big hits in it too, you know. Big time.
The people always like that.
It's always good fun.
All right, anything else on clips?
I just have one little one here. We actually called it we ran it. It's Enya, little number six here. So okay. This is just a bit of fun for you. It's so we call this, I call this the, just the week before, play. This is an out of bounds play. Well, the week before we went to the championships, we were just talking about different things and they're out of bounds. And if people aren't paying attention, what to do. So I had seen this as a young lad when Scottie Pippen did it. Enya, her dog's name is Pippen. So she remembered it. So I'm just going to run it here. So you see, very cleverly, just a little bump off her back.
Oh, my God.
So that's a clever thing to do in a massive game. Like this game was, we had to win this game to make sure we got through to the semifinals. See, at 44 all.
That's awesome.
Clever kid. Her mom and her dad played basketball for Ireland. So
okay. And she was smart enough to get herself in bounds, too.
Yeah, people are still talking about that. So if you see, again, on that clip, she barely gets her second foot down. This actually went viral in FIBA because a lot of referees came in and said she didn't establish her feet, but they slowed it down enough to show that she actually did establish her feet when she got back onto the floor and made the
shot.
So
great.
It was
that.
Pretty much right at it. So that was pretty cool. That was just something I just said I'd show you, just something we had.
I love
we're
that.
Trying to get back to us on screen now. How okay. do we do that?
You got to, yeah, hold on. So,
yeah, so
awesome. Those are very helpful, Coach. I love that. It's the nuances of the game that I think people don't spend the time on. That
like for me, when I was growing up and when I was younger, I was very lucky here in Portlaoise. We had a fantastic sports person, a basketball coach called Pat Critchley, who actually this week just got given a Lifetime Achievement Award from Basketball Ireland. And I was 16, 17 years of age. And my brother had played with Pat, so I was able to go and help him out with the girls' high school team, which is a 16 and 17 year old guy, was very appealing to me at the time. And then just to learn from him, I spent about 5 or 6 years going around the country with him and just watching him coach, watching the way he worked with people and how he did his stuff and, you know, setting out his practice plans. And you know, he's a extremely smart guy. He's a high school teacher, you know, really, really smart guy. And then from there, I went around watching other coaches. I think to gain knowledge in this game, you have to be open to watch everybody.
And I mean, I've won a lot of games and coached a lot of really great players. And I feel like I started 2 days ago. I swear to God. I mean, and I'm a reader. Look at this. It's like this game is an unbelievable game and has given me more than anything I'd ever want. But I feel like I want to give stuff back. It's part of the reasons I do the podcast. But it's like I'm always learning. It's like I learned 2 things already in the first half hour. It's like, ooh, that works. I like that road. I mean, what I tell listeners, and I especially tell even the old coaches like you and I, you have to find people that are mentors. You have to find people that people want to help each other. That's the
yeah.
And you are the coach. You are the coach you are because of people that helped you. I am the coach I am because of people that helped me along the way.
Well, like, you have to be a sponge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that was one of your quotes down below. You were talking about being a sponge.
Yeah, and you do. Like, I mean, as a coach as well as a player, I mean, for me, I've been lucky enough with the guys over here who are really good coaches. And it doesn't have to be the best coach, you know, in the world that you learn something from. You can learn something from a guy who's coaching his first game, you know, but you have to be willing to learn.
Right.
And that's the big thing. And the day you stop learning is the day you walk away from the game.
Right, the day you're done. I agree. And I tell people sometimes when you listen to all these big, in our level, like the Division I coaches, I said, I learned more from junior high school coaches, to be honest with you, most of the time, than I do going listening to, you know, those guys.
We had Tim over last year. I think he was over on vacation, and he just came and did a defensive session with my women's Super League team. And like he specifically kept it basic, but it was brilliant.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just I have a very good friend over there called Dave Hoplin, and Dave has one very simple saying, and I love it. And it's the old one, KISS, you know, keep it simple, stupid. You know, stop trying to make things more difficult than they are.
Right.
Because you're only going to upset your team and you're going to end up upsetting yourself and everybody gets frustrated. Simplicity is the best way with this game. As far as I'm concerned, everybody has their own way of doing things.
And everybody,
nobody's right,
and
nobody's wrong.
And I always say you got to question why you do stuff. Like, always ask why. Like, why am I running that drill? Why am I doing that? Like, I revamped the way I ran practice probably about 5 years ago, where I kind of try to run it like a game, where there's a pregame, there's a first half. We play halves in our state. Halves, there's a halftime, there's a second half, where, you know, we're kind of – because otherwise you got to keep it flow. I was talking to a G League coach a couple of days ago, and he basically says he spends a lot of time on his practice planning. I want to dive into that with you, because he goes, I want to make it a short, I want to make it precise and short and concise to get in, get out, teach them. Cause their focus will be better if I do that. If I'm just doing something to do it, I'm losing them.
I can understand some of that. I mean, practice planning for me is definitely, you know, it's massive. It can be the biggest part of your week. If you're setting up things right in practice, well then, you know, proper practice leads to better execution in games. I've actually kind of revamped the way I do my practices as well in the last maybe 4 or 5 years. Like when I went to practice, we used to very rarely scrimmage. Whereas now I give nearly, you know, half my practice sessions to a scrimmage.
Right.
Because I know you need to do that. And I know you need to, the players will only learn the right things and the wrong things from scrimmaging. I mean, you can do all the drills in the world that you want. And everything we do is team-based. But like for them to learn their basic X's and O's when they're going into a game situation, they have to scrimmage, and they have to scrimmage with what they're going to do.
And how you teach in that scrimmage, it's like, I think a great takeaway is how you teach inside that scrimmage too. Like, you can't stop every 2 seconds to
teach. No.
That's, I have my assistants actually keep a little notebook, and they'll see something, and then when that person comes out, they'll grab them and go, hey, da-da-da-da, you should do that. Because otherwise the flow, it's like if you stop, it's the stop-start stuff that drives me bonkers.
So here you go, Coach. I'm in Ireland, and I coach Women's Super League. I haven't got an assistant. So, like, a lot of the stuff we do over here, like some of the bigger clubs obviously have their full –
right,
you know, staff and stuff like that. I'm very lucky. I have a very good team manager. With the Women's Super League team last year, I did get an assistant, Stephen, who came on board. But like with our men's national league team, I don't have an assistant. And like,
explain how the league structure works. Do you, is it like, hey coach, hope you enjoyed that. Make sure you subscribe and like, go over right now, stop, join teachhoops.com, say, I want to become a better basketball coach. I want to win a state title. I want to learn what it takes to take my team to the next level. Well, I can help you do that. I've been through all the battles you've been through. Let me help you through this great process we call coaching. All right. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.